Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Steve Bogetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey, Bark Radio listeners. Ooh, 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 we're in for such a treat. Guess who's here today? Ooh!
Our buddy, Eric.
From Pack Ethic in upstate New York.
Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Well, Eric, we are so excited to talk to you because, for one thing, we just have to have updates on some of the dogs that we've been seeing online that you've rescued recently. And in particular, that would be
Will and Kate.
Yeah, Will and Kate, what a tremendous duo that those two are. True testament of what the pit bull breed is all about. You know, these guys, they were axed in the head, literally hit in the head with an axe. Kate was hit so hard that she actually fractured her nasal cavity. both dogs had over 14 stitches in their head. And it was unreal, you know. And it's one of those sayings that you know when you thought you'd seen it all, then lo and behold. And these guys, Kate was awesome right up from the bat. And when she came out of surgery, she was just, hey, you know, happy go lucky. Will was a little bit more reserved, you know, and it seemed like he had the worst out of human mistreatment out of the two. But they are both doing wonderful up here. They're at the Pack Ethic Sanctuary, and they're just loving life and then moving on. So,
oh, that's so cool. So physically, they're healing?
Yes, physically they're healing. Kate just went in last week, and she had an x-ray done of her head, and everything seems to be healing wonderful. She's had no problems breathing, and, you know, it's we're looking forward to getting them over every single trigger that they used to have. They're a little bit iffy with some dogs, you know, but, of course, that's to be expected when they're not socialized properly, and Kate was overbred. You can tell that right off the bat. And, you know, so we're just going to take it nice and slow with them and show them what pack mentality is all about.
That's awesome.
And, Eric, do you anticipate at some point adopting them out?
Yep. The goal for everybody that comes through is to try to find them a home. Sometimes the dogs that come here, they do have they just have too much baggage to trust, putting them in a home, and those are the ones that do stay here. But I see both Will and Kate, they won't be adopted out together because they do fight each other. That was one of the complaints, I guess, in the background from where they first came. I guess Animal Control was there a few times with them getting a hold of each other. So they won't be adopted out together, but singly, I'm hoping that we will find a couple of great homes that want to bring in two wonderful dogs. Will is just he's huge. He's about, you know, he's over 90 pounds, so monster boy. And but let me tell you something. This guy, he gives some of the best kisses, and he will follow you around no leash and just wants to be next to you. And as long as he's got that, then he's happy as can be. So Will, Kate, she's just a little love bug. She's always been, you know, kisses and belly rubs, and so she's a lot more laid back and really outgoing. So I think she will be the easier out of the two to place. So,
but you know, I love the big boy. I tell you what, someday I hope a place big enough where I can go, hey, Eric, I want one.
Right now,
I can't do more than the five that I've got at my house. But
five,
he sounds marvelous, and I do love those big guys. I just really want to meet him if we can get up there.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. You guys would definitely enjoy their company, and they would enjoy yours. That's what it's all about. So, the main thing is to make sure that they're all right, both physically and mentally, you know, and as soon as they pass a couple more of the mental challenges, then we'll be getting them up on the adoption site. So,
yeah,
that's cool. Well, Eric, seeing that occasionally we get new listeners in, we might want to go back and actually tell folks about Pack Ethic Rescue.
Oops.
Yeah, I know you've been on and you're a regular, but for the new folks, tell them about yourself.
All right, Pack Ethic is a 25-acre sanctuary. It's located in upstate New York, and we're an in-home sanctuary. We have run it out of our home. It's beautiful for these guys that are severely abused and neglected. What happens is when we pick them up from either the situations or from the vets that are taking care of them, we want them to be as comfortable as possible. And one of those ways is we bring them home into our home. And we have a pack waiting for to show them that, hey, not only can they trust us, but they can, you know, they can let everything go and just be a dog. And that's the most important thing, is to be able to bring them in and have them act like a dog, so you can teach them, you know, how to be a proper dog. And that's what it's all about, pack mentality. And and the power of the pack is unbelievable, so it can work wonders.
Yeah, one thing that I want to encourage folks to go is to your website, because you have some great videos up that really demonstrate well the pack mentality and the dogs adjusting. Because, I mean, you've had some really tough cases, much like the Will and Kate ones, come in, and they've just – the changes from start to where they're at now is amazing, just to see how everybody just kind of fits. Vespa.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's one of the things that we love to do is show through our videos not only our work, but the work of the dogs. You know, a lot of the times you guys will see in the videos there'll be certain dogs there almost all the time. That's our working pack. That's the dogs that we have rescued throughout the years, and they've been around. And whether it's been by my side going to in-home trainings or by my side going to evaluate dogs at the shelter, they've been around the block and back, so to speak. And, you know, these dogs are my core pack that show these new dogs coming in that, hey, you know, these people are awesome. You know, they'll never hurt you, and, you know, you can trust them. And that's really important for the work that we do, because, you know, you'll see a lot of the videos. There's been some severe cases of abuse come through here. And it's awesome to be able to count on your pack and your dogs to pass along the knowledge, so to speak. You know, it makes our job a lot easier because we don't have to work as hard for the trust and the respect. So that's what it's all about right there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, we heard that our a dog we did on a previous episode, Joe Thunder, was adopted and then has come back. And what's happening with Joe? What's going on there?
Yeah, that was very, very sad. It was such a wonderful home, and the adopter, who's a wonderful woman, she ended up her terminal illness came back, and it was a kind of a, you know, a surprise for all of us, you know, and she's going to be losing a lot of her strength, you know, and she didn't feel that it was right for Joe to go through that and to see. You know, her go through that. So she thought it was in Joe's best interest to come home and come home to the sanctuary, so to speak. And I'll tell you what, when I went to pick him up, he ran right up and you know, he gave me the biggest welcome you could possibly, you know, get, and jumped right in the Durango and said, "Hey, I'm ready to go," you know, and I'm back. And
hey, Eric's back. Woohoo!
That's right. You know, and it's great when that happens. It's not great that, you know, how it happened, but that always makes me feel good that when I see them after a little while, they you know, they jump right in and hey, let's go. And not only did he do that, but he came back and he's, you know, back in with the pack, and he's passing along the trust and respect of, you know, just like the others. So even though it was a sad situation, it's good because he's back here and he's safe and nothing, you know, bad happened to him. And I truly wish the best to you know, his previous mother, and, you know, hopefully all works out with her. But sometimes in life you can't, you know, you can't control what happens. And this was one of those times, unfortunately.
Well, I just think it's so cool that, you know, she made a difficult decision, but she really tried to make the best decision for Joe Thunder.
And
you know, you can't beat that in a human being. If we all had that thought process, the animals would be in much better shape overall.
Exactly. It was such a, you know, an unselfish act on her part. You know, she could have, you know, just been like, well, he'll be fine. You know, I'll go to my doctor's appointment and come back weak and not be able to walk him and you know, so on and so forth. And nah, she didn't want that, you know. And to me, that's a true animal lover, and that's a true human being that's able to make that sacrifice, you know. And we're all about sacrifices here at Pack Ethic, you know, for the animals, the better of the animals. And, you know, to have an adopter make that step and that realization is huge on our part. And it shows me that we made the right choice by sending Joe there in the first place. So
you got it. Absolutely.
Well, he'll find a place.
He will.
Yeah, that's right. He's a wonderful dog, and you know, he definitely is a great boy, and somebody will be able to open up their home to him once again. So.
Well, Eric, let's talk a little bit about, you're doing a little bit of restructuring of the Pack Ethic, and why don't you tell us a little bit about that? And at the tail end of it, why don't you tell our listeners about, you know, volunteer opportunities that might be coming up in the future?
Definitely. You know, the last year and a half, I've been running with Rescue Inc., and I'm no longer affiliated with them. We're 110% into Pack Ethic Sanctuary. And it works out better this way because we get to control everything. We get to control all the rescues. We get to control, you know, all adoptions and so on and so forth. But above all, it's that we're able to be here, you know, for the animals without a doubt. You know, there's a lot of running around and stuff like that, which won't happen anymore, you know, and it's for the better. And some of our main goals is to put up cabins and to have people be able to come and spend some time with us in the pack and truly see how different we are from other places. Going back to, this is an in-home sanctuary, you know, this is our home. So when they come in, it's a lot different than bringing a dog into a shelter where, you know, it's still cages and concrete, and you can have the nicest shelter in the world, but without humans there 24 hours a day and without that freedom of going inside and you know, or outside and having a big yard to play in, it makes a big difference, especially when we're rescuing dogs. And I want people to be able to feel and be a part of what it means, what pack mentality means, basically. And no, don't mean to brag, but I don't think there's any other place that's better than up here when it comes to that. You know, I want people to be able to spend, whether it's, you know, a night, a weekend, or a week, whatever they want to spend up here, I want them to be able to come here, see what it's like to bring in new dogs, see what it's like to introduce new dogs, and see what it's like to truly rehabilitate the dogs 24 hours a day and have the animals come first. And that's the biggest and main thing, is we want the animals to always come first. So that's where we're heading. So.
Well, and tell us, Eric, too, or tell our listeners, it's you and Carrie and Chad, right?
Yeah, it's you know, we're a family pack. It's me, my fiance Carrie, and my brother Chad, and it that's one of the amazing pieces of the puzzle, so to speak, is to have three humans that, for one, when we get up in the morning, we make a game plan. You know, when we're sitting down, relaxing in between, you know, exercising the dogs, if something came up, then we can all talk about it. We're all on the same page, and we're all here for the animals. So there you have three humans here all the time, 24 hours a day, and it makes it so just an incredible example, or you know, where we just are the leaders, you know, and we get to go out and take these dogs and show them what it's like to be, you know, loved and have the affection and the guidance that is needed to go out and do, you know, basically tackle anything. So,
well, and I think that whole pack mentality, the other pack members don't leave, the four-legged ones. So just having you guys all there all the time in that leadership role within the pack, I think that has to be huge.
Yes, it is very important because there's a consistency here,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, whether it's us or with the dogs and, you know, the dogs that have been here for a while so they know the routines, you know, and that consistency equals safety in a dog's mind. You know, the more consistent their life is, then especially when you're trying to rehabilitate dogs that have come from horrendous situations, when they have that baggage behind them of being abused or being neglected, the best way to get them over any fears or insecurities that they have is to be consistent. And, you know, it means a lot to have three people that know what the, you know, the best options are for these guys, you know, and have the dogs that are right there willing to follow because they trust us 100%. So that is what, you know, very important in the work that we do.
Yeah, that is, I think that's key. I think that's one thing that makes sure, besides the home environment, the fact that you're always there and you're always focused makes you unique and makes the dog's life that much better and makes rehabilitation that much easier.
That's right. You know, and another big thing is, You know, the way that we have set it up, we've got four main yards, and those yards are all split up. We have one huge yard that's that's the place where we bring them, and that they can run, they can, you know, have enough room, well, more than enough room to just let it all go, you know. And then we have the smaller yards when we're doing exercises with one-on-one and you know, or bringing a new dog into the pack, and we need a little bit less room, so in case something does happen, we're able to get there and you know, get it under control. But that's another thing, too, is to be able to have a home that's right in the center of the 25 acres. So we literally have a territory around us. So this is one of the only places that you'll ever see true pack mentality, you know, and there is no hierarchy aggression and there is no dominance aggression because we are the pack leaders. And that's what makes the biggest difference with bringing these dogs in and giving them this home, is that you don't have to worry about the normal aggressions or challenges that would come out if there wasn't, you know, strength in the humans. And that's what we take pride in, is being able to be that true pack leader for these dogs and not having that hierarchy aggression, not having that, you know, the vying for a position, because there is no position. There's human and then there's dog, and all the dogs are equal, you know, and that's proven in our feeding routines. And, you know, when we feed the dogs as a pack, they all have to wait just as long, you know, so, and they all have to wait for that okay. They're all being treated equal, and that's the main thing. When you have to split up your dogs and have one in, you know, one room, you usually feed one first. That can create, you know, dominance aggression and hierarchy aggression. So that's a big thing that we really take pride in, is truly being the pack leader for the guys, for the dogs.
Well, one of the things that I also like about your videos, I get to observe a lot of canine body language in the work that I do, and I really enjoy that, but also getting to see your body language, you know, how you relate to the dogs, how they relate to you, because that is so key.
Yes, that's very important. I tell a lot of people, you know, you got to kind of, you know, you got to let everything go. You got to be true to yourself 100%, you know, and especially when you're dealing with a pack of dogs. If you aren't in the now, and if you're not 100% committed into having, you know, that proud body posture, then, you know, you're really risking losing control of that pack. And that's one of the cool things about having a pack of dogs, is that's their challenge to you, is to always be strong enough for them, you know. And that's the thing, is a lot of people, they think nowadays that behavior modification and training has to do with physically touching and everything else. And the biggest thing that I can't stand is when somebody reverts to having to touch all the time or having to physically manipulate a dog, when it's as easy as puffing your shoulders up and telling them no. You know, and that's the thing,
that.
You know, an intake of a breath to make yourself look a little bit bigger, a lot of times will do more for that dog than you physically manipulating them. So.
Yeah, I see, I'm a big believer in that, too. I mean, I don't have as many dogs as you do. I've got two cattle dogs, and they're both, well, a cattle dog and a pit mix, and they're both rescues. But other than when Dee comes over, they're generally pretty well behaved.
Hey, they're my buddies, you know. Woohoo, Dee's here.
But it's not about touching. It's not, you know, it's you know, you can a gesture maybe if you want them out of a room, or, you know, a command. But it's that respect, and I'm a big believer in that. My dogs, when we feed them, they fed together. They both sit. They both wait till I set it down, and then they're released. And I'm 100% on board with that. I've seen it work, not only in my case, but in other cases. Lots of folks do that. I think it's a great methodology.
Yeah, and one of the things, too, is you know, a lot of people don't understand that if you watch a pack of wild dogs, which I got the opportunity to do years and years ago, which is where I took a lot of my information from, the pack leader hardly ever has to lay his mouth on another pack member. The only time that happens is either, you know, if there's a really if there's a territory, you know, argument or something like that, or whether there's a young one being very mischievous and needs that little bit extra, you know, oomph. But a lot of times what you see that pack leader do is walk in between a situation and puff up, or walk around somebody that's causing trouble, and you know, they puff up and they give them a certain look. And, you know, the rest of the dogs know not to push that. And that's kind of like with what a human can do is, you know, you puff your, you put your shoulders back, you know, your chest out and your head up high. You got to be straight in posture, you know, and you can, and your voice is has a lot to do with it also. You know, when you want to be stern, you get a little bit lower voice. You know, when you want to be happy, then it's a little bit higher pitched voice. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that either, how much your tone affects, the dogs and how they listen to you and how important it is to have the different tones for your canine companion. So.
Oh, that's so huge. And we don't talk about that much, Terry,
no.
But when I'm working with someone and their dog, you know, I'll be talking to them, and this is my tone of voice, right? This is my standard tone of voice. And I'm explaining to them, and this is the voice that you'll use for your dog. And just what you said, on those rare occasions, like with my dogs, if somebody's being a goober and I need a voice that's going to intercede, they know that voice, and it gets their attention. I don't have to go on for paragraphs, you know? They're like, whoa, whoa. Okay, got it. My bad. And the same thing with that high-pitched voice. You know, if you want to amp up a dog and have some party and, you know, really have fun with your dog, yeah, use that higher-pitched tone of voice. But that's huge, Eric.
Yep. And also in rehabilitation, too, you got to think that when you're getting these dogs, a lot of times they've known somebody screaming at them or they've known that anger side, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you change your tone just a little bit and you can have a soothing tone, you know, I've had dogs that have come in so insecure and so fearful, you know, tails tickling their belly and they're just hunched over and you can see them shivering. You know, and if you kneel down and you talk to them in a soft, you know, just a super soft tone with that intention behind that, I want to help you, you know, come here, you're safe, you know, you're going to be okay. I can't tell you how many times that's worked for me to get that dog using their nose. And you know, once they start using your nose, then that's when you got them, you know.
That's all you're looking for.
Yep. So it is very important. I wish a lot more people would, understand that. Sometimes it may seem like it's little, but to a dog, it's huge.
It is huge, and I think that's so much of what you do is, I think, educating people about, you know, dogs are not human beings, and if we can come anywhere close to understanding them as well as they understand us, we're on a good road.
And we got a long
way
to go with the species.
Seriously.
Well, I always tell people, you know, you can kill a dog's spirit and purpose by being human, but you can truly help them by being dog. And, you know, when you understand that statement and you can live that statement, then you'll understand what it truly means. And that's when, you know, the animals will really be affected by what you can do. So.
And the relationship then that you have is just incredible. The relationships I have with dogs are just the best that I could ever have. Ask for my whole life.
Yep, they were everlasting. You know, I can look back on some dogs that, you know, we've helped in the past, and they've taught me a lot. You know, you can always learn from dogs. You never know enough. You know, you can never know it all, and you can never, you know, you're never finished learning, not if you're open to it. And we've had dogs come through that, unfortunately, you know, have only had a couple years left or, you know, have been so damaged that, you know, you can't really do anything for them. And those are the dogs that, you know, for the amount of time that they're with you, the strength, the trust, and the devotion that they can show you and that you can learn from them is priceless. You know, and those faces and those energies, you know, are forever imprinted in my mind, and that's something that I look to every day. You know, I always remember those ones that you know, taught me more than what I thought I could learn from them. So.
And I said that for a long time, Eric, that dogs have taught me more than people ever will.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Now, what we need to do, because you, I suspect, and Pack Ethic run a great deal on donations, and
yep.
I think we need to encourage our Bark Radio listeners to donate to Pack Ethic. So how can they do that, Eric?
Well, thank you. Right now, we're in the process of finalizing our 501. Which will take a couple of weeks. But for the videos and for seeing the work that we do and learning about who we are, feel free to go to our website. It's packethic.com, and there's everything up there. There's video section. There's There's picture sections, there's donate sections, and there's also a couple of pages that are for some of the dogs that came through. So you can see some. Will and Kate have a page up there, so you can read their story and see the change that they went through just in the short amount of time that they were up here. You can also see our boy Vespers up there. So,
yeah.
And I love it when people go there and they can take something away from it. That's the main point of that website. So.
And the other thing, Bark Radio listeners, is follow Eric on Facebook.
Yes, Eric, Pack Ethic Bellows. Go ahead to that page. We also have a group page, Pack Ethic. Chad Bellows is on there. He's the caretaker up here, and as is Carrie Whitfield. So look us up on Facebook so you can, you know, we have a new mama that we picked up a couple of days ago. She actually was taken from a meth lab, and she had five puppies. They're our new addition that's up here. So you can follow their story growing up with the pack. It'll be one, you know, one for the storybook. So
what lucky puppies.
We need to check back in about 6 or 7 weeks to see what's changed already.
Yeah, with the pups.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. We're also this weekend getting Maggie. She's coming from Louisiana, and she's a 9-year-old mama that has been, just through the ringer and back. The abuse that's done to this girl, let alone breeding her at nine years old, is just horrible. And she gave birth to 11 wonderful puppies. And they are also on their way to Pack Ethic. So we're going to be, you know,
wow,
pretty full and busy for the next couple of weeks. So.
Yeah, that'll keep you out of trouble, huh, Eric?
That's right, yeah. We got, you know, all the two mamas to take care of and all their little ones. So, you know, but it's always fun, you know, and the puppies are so pure. Sometimes it's a lot, you know, people are like, oh, my goodness, it's a lot of puppies. But you know what? The pureness of them and having them learn from our pack that we've, you know, we've just nurtured and guided for years is it's like no other, you know. And the last time we had puppies come through here, all of them were adopted into homes, and they're thriving, you know. And I love it when people can take a puppy from us, and you know, and just we have 4 out of the 7 that were adopted actually had children, and I'm getting updates on Facebook, which you can see the pictures of these dogs with the kids, and that's what it's all about, is giving a child a best friend. That they can grow up with, and, you know, they can start understanding right away that a true dog, you know, what it's like to have a true dog relationship. So that's our big purpose with these pups. So it'll be fun.
Very cool. Well, thank you. Sorry, we were both going to say it at the same time. Well, thanks for joining us today, Eric. And we'll definitely be in touch with you in a couple of months here just to find out what's going on, what's new at Pack Ethic. And I'm still going to try really hard to get us up there sometime in August or September. So we're trying.
Well,
we want to come see you, Eric. Thank you so much for talking to us.
No, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure, and I definitely want you guys to be able to come up and spend some time with the pack there. You know, see what it's all about, and you know, just see what this place is. You know, really is. So, and that's what I want more people to be able to appreciate and to see. The magnitude of what does go on up here, and get a little bit of the power of the pack mentality. So,
well, here's the power of the pack. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
All right,
bye.
Thank you. Take it easy.